Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
If you have your Bibles, I want to plug some verses together, connect some verses together for you today. And I'm going to believe the Spirit of God is going to show you what's here. Because I'm going to know you can read this. This is the Word, by the way. It's my Bible on my iPad. But how many of you can read the Word and you get so used to reading it a certain way that you read it that way every time you read it? And so let's be a people that are in the habit of asking Father to show us how He thinks. I want to see things from His vantage point. I don't want to see things from the way I've always seen them, because I know there's more to see. So if we open up our Bibles and we always expect the Spirit of God to lift the veil and show us how our Father thinks, you'll see things from His vantage point. How many have ever gone on our website and you've streamed one of the previous messages? You know the intro that's on there? You know, He wants to open up your vantage point to heaven's perspective so that we can live God in real time. That's really what we're talking about. And so if we're a people that are hungry for Him and value Him and honor Him because He is a person, then He'll give you everything He's got. He's not holding anything back from us. In fact, if you want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to be honest with you, I've been a Christian for a long, long time. Near as I can remember, as early as however, whatever age I was, you know, I was in church. Even when I didn't want to go to church, still had to go to church. But, you know, maybe I was a little more of a heathen than my wife. She had to go to Sunday night church too, and Wednesday night. Yeah, I wasn't quite that over the edge, but we still had to go to church. But I got to be honest with you. There's things that I'm seeing in the Scriptures now that I've never seen. And you know, when the Spirit of God shines a light on something and says, hey, look at this, you're like, why didn't I connect these things before? So over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, your best friend forever. And again, this series was never designed to be a doctrinal series on the Holy Spirit. There's plenty of them out there, and they're all, I'm sure, very, very good. But the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an idea. He's not a concept. He's not a concept, and he's not a theology. He's a person. And so there's certain ways He thinks, and there's certain things that He's responsible for, and He has emotions and all of these things. So if we're going to get to know Him, I want to know Him. I don't want to know about Him. I want to know Him. But that involves us moving from just relating to Father and relating to Jesus and relating to the Holy Spirit as ideas that we were taught, going from that and beginning to relate to them as actual people, personalities, persons. Because that's really where the Spirit of God is trying to get us to get to. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, He makes a statement in, verse 8, at the very end of verse 8, it says he calls him the Lord of glory. Now, I'm reading out the NASB translation. He's calling him the Lord of glory. And anytime you see that phrase, the Lord of glory, you have to understand in your thought process that he's talking about something that is manifested for the physical eyes to take a look at. Okay? Anytime that phrase, Lord of glory or living God, he's talking about something that's in the right now, here and now, right where your physical eyes can look on. Okay? And so he calls him the Lord of glory. And then in verse 9 he says, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. The first time I read that, and actually really, really, really read it, the Spirit of God said, did you notice that there are things that are supposed to be entering into the heart of man and they're not? But they're supposed to be. They don't realize. How many of you, if you don't know that something's missing, you're not going to know something's missing. If human beings, natural man, doesn't know that there are things that are supposed to be entering his heart from heaven, but he's never experienced that, he's not expecting that. So he has no appetite for that. And it doesn't matter whether this is a natural man, as a non-church guy or a non-religious guy, or if he's a Christian, but he's still only trained by print. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Trained by print? For the first 20 years of my gospel life, I was trained by print. And there's nothing wrong with being trained by print, but it's like Jesus communicated to the religious establishment, look, you value the print that you have because therein you think you have eternal life, but yet all of that print is supposed to lead you into an experience with me. So being print trained is great, but be print trained and then let the Spirit of God make it 3D and take you into knowing the person that's behind the print. Right? Never be satisfied with just the print, because there's a person there. A person wrote it. It came out of the mind of a person. So here he says, there are things that the eye has not seen nor the ear heard, have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, for to us God revealed them through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So you have access to even the depths of God. So we should never say, well, you just never know what God's going to do. That's not Bible. Because he just told you, the person of the Holy Spirit just told you that because of me, I'm giving you access to the depths of God. And so he goes on to say, he said, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit that's in that man? And likewise, or even so, who knows the thoughts of God except for the Spirit of God? So then in verse 12, he goes on to say, we'll skip the part about not having the spirit of the world, but we'll skip it. And it says, the Spirit, he gave us the Spirit that is from God so that you would know the things that are freely given to you by God. And then it says, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Everybody say taught by the Spirit. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Now, it actually says combining spiritual with spiritual, because the word words there don't really actually appear in the text. But there's a number of things I want to point out here. But I want you to see in verse 16, what does it say? It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Well, he just got done telling us who knows the mind of the Lord, the ones that have his Spirit, because he gave us his Spirit so that we would know the mind of the Lord. Even the deep things that are in the mind of the Lord. I don't know about you, but that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. But I want to connect the dots here for you today. Because how many have ever seen in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, where it talks about, like on the day of Pentecost, it says that the Holy Spirit was poured out, and Peter likened, he drew from Joel chapter 2, I believe it was, and said, this was the outpouring, that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he talked about the outpouring from the Spirit of God. And he said the results of the outpouring of the Spirit of God will be men will prophesy. He said they'll dream dreams, they'll have visions. And then he mentions they'll prophesy on. Did I mention they'll prophesy? And the word prophecy means to unveil the mind of another. Well, whose mind do you suppose we're unveiling? We're unveiling Father's mind. That's why Paul said in one of his other letters, he says, don't despise prophecy. Why? Because it's if we develop in these things, we're simply being a conduit to unveil the mind of another to another. So we're supposed to function in his mind. Would you agree with that? That the new man, the new model was designed to be connected 24/7 to download the things that are in Father's mind. In some of you guys' testimonies, and you guys communicated that. That's supposed to be normal. And it's not supposed to be some weird thing, because a lot of times we discount stuff. We have thoughts all day long. Something just pops in our head. We discount it because we think, well, it's just me. Or we don't recognize it. When in actually it's the Spirit of God just kind of drawing your attention to something. You know, I told you this. When I had my business, I fixed $100,000 pieces of equipment just because the Spirit of God told me what was wrong with it. I didn't have training. He would just narrow it down. Check this, check this, check this. All of a sudden, bam, there it is. Oh, wow. And it's done. He did that for me. About that time in my life, I was telling him, Lord, I want to learn how to be led by you. So he's, you know, wherever you are, that's where he begins to teach you. You know, and he'll teach you. He cares about even the smallest little details that we wouldn't think he cares about. But he cares about all that stuff. Because it's all about, number one, making his name great, and number two, causing you to become the head and not the tail. Joseph became, he was in the tail, he was in the gutter, he was in the cellar, and all of a sudden, because of insight from heaven, he went from being in the cellar to being the head. Just because of what he knew. Because it came from the Spirit of God. And so, in these scriptures, we're seeing here the Spirit of God is given to us so that we'll know the mind of Father. And it's very interesting that it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that it says that in verse 13, the things that are from the mind of Father, verse 12, are the things that we're speaking, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, spiritual connecting with spiritual. And I want you to understand, make the connection here that what he's speaking about here is that which is coming out of your spirit. Because you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe it was, Paul made the statement to the Corinthian church, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Can we just get over the weird? I hate the fact that we make stuff weird, because this is not weird. You're a spiritual being. Your spirit is not mute. If you're one spirit with him, your spirit's not mute. So, you know, I don't know if it's been religious. It's probably been just religious thought process that has made this thing weird. But it's not weird. It's the way a man is created to function. Because in that connection, when you're one spirit with him and you're praying out of your spirit, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 says to pray in the Spirit always and pay attention thereunto. Pay attention to what you're praying in your spirit. Well, you know, you can't pray in your spirit with your national language. So he's not talking about your national language. He's talking about what was a reality to him was praying out of your spirit. Because your spirit has a language. It wasn't designed. How many know, and you can even see it in, you see it in anything natural man has to do with. They always try to inflame something to keep you away from it. Do you notice that? They'll try to inflame, you know, a particular issue to keep you away from it. They try to heap things that cause you, you know, to heap shame on you if you're associated, because they're trying to keep people away from it. Well, that's just the way natural man is, because that's the way their daddy is. Genesis chapter 1, when the Lord came to walk with Adam, and he says, why are you where you are? He didn't say, where are you? He said, why are you where you are? And then he said, and then Adam gave him an answer, and then he said, well, who told you you were naked? And really what's communicated there really out of the Hebrew language is, who made an issue of you being naked to the place where it heaped shame upon your head? Why else would he have ran? He didn't learn that from being with the Lord previous. It wasn't like it was the first time the Lord ever showed up in the garden. He ran because somebody heaped shame, made something so obvious and such an issue that it heaped shame upon his head. And that caused his reaction to the Lord. So that's just the way natural man is. So when you talk about things like tongues or whatever, look, the religion of man is going to make this thing be something that they say is of darkness, because how many know that darkness does not want you stepping into the fullness of who you really are? It doesn't, they don't want you to go there. So understand this, that what Paul is saying is, look, the reason Father gave us the Spirit of God is so we would know freely what's been freely given to us from out of His mind. Right? And the way we cultivate that, the way we connect with that, the way we walk in that, is we pray out of our spirit. Pray in tongues, as Paul calls it, and as the book of Acts calls it. You're connecting one spirit with Him, and you're downloading thoughts from Father into your spirit, and that's how we do this. Okay? Now let me ask you a question. Do you remember when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, 23, He said, have the faith of God? How many remember Jesus saying that? You know, our English translations say have faith in God, but that's not really what it says. It says have the faith of God. So, do you suppose that if we have the mind of Father, that the faith of Father comes with it? If we have the mind of Father, then the faith of Father comes with it, wouldn't you think? Because you don't think His mind has got anything else in there, do you? Right? Go over to Jude. Jude verse 20. And verse 9, he's talking about individuals. He's contrasting natural man with the new model man. Your Bible calls it the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But he says in verse 19, he's talking about, he says, those that are, the NASB says, devoid of the Spirit, big S. Your margin says, not having the Spirit. That's the person of the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of Father. But he says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, on your most what? Praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God. Now notice what it says here. You need to connect this verse with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and on. He gave us His Spirit so we would know His mind. Paul says, what I'm teaching you, I'm not teaching you, it came out of natural wisdom, it came out of my spirit, it came, you know, what I'm telling you, what I'm communicating to you, came spiritual, connecting with spiritual, it came out of my spirit from His Spirit. Jude is saying, when you pray in your Holy Spirit, it says you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. Why? Because when you're praying in your Holy Spirit, when you're praying in your spirit with the Holy Spirit in there, then there's a connection, there's a download between Father's mind and your spirit, and the result of that is, the only thing that comes out is, he starts showing you things. What does Hebrews 11 say faith is? Faith is the evidence of things. The evidence of things not seen. What is Holy Spirit's job? To reveal the mind of Father to us. So Jude is saying when you pray out of your spirit, when you pray in tongues, you're simply putting yourself in a position for Holy Spirit to unveil maximum amount of Father's mind, and with Father's mind comes Father's faith. And if we live here, then we live here. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live out of my own head. I want to live in His. Right? Okay, now go over to Galatians. This is why I say, folks, that we've got to get this correct in our thought process and our expectation and understanding that faith doesn't come from you, it comes from Him. It's Holy Spirit's job to bring the evidence of things not seen. So in Galatians chapter 3, keep in mind, we were given the Holy Spirit so that we would know how and what Father is thinking all the time. And nothing's off limits. Even the deep things of God we can know. Okay? And so Paul says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, as far as this new life goes in verse 20, it's not I that lives now, it's Christ that's living in me. Now, think about this. Paul said, I thank God I pray in tongues more than you all. The Holy Spirit's been given to us so that we would freely know what's been freely given to us from the mind of Father. Right? Jude says if we pray in the Spirit, pray in our spirit, then we're building ourselves up upon, he calls it the most holy faith. That means it's uncontaminated by man's thought process. It's really kind of senseless to argue about this because those of us that exercise in this, it's too late. I already live here and it's too late. I mean, when you spend time praying out of your spirit, you know what's going on. I mean, it's like you're being elevated above your emotions, above your thought processes, above your whatever's going on in your mental realm, whatever's going on around you. It's like it lifts you up above all of that mess. So, Paul is saying, living here, what we just talked about, he says, the life that I now live, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ is living in me. Christ is living in me because Father's mind is living in me, because Holy Spirit's living in me, and Holy Spirit's job is to show me what Father's thinking, and this is my reality now. Christ lives in me, the life that I now live in this flesh, I live. Now, your translation and my translation say, by faith in the Son of God, but that's not really what it says. It says in the original Greek text, it says, I live out of, the word is ek, E-K, it means out from. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised out from the dead. It's the same word used here. The life that I live out from the faith that's of the Son. I'm living out from the faith that's of the Son. Because He's the one that's alive in me. Because the Holy Spirit's in me. And the Holy Spirit's job is to give me a direct line to what's in Father's mind. And when I get Father's mind, I get Father's faith. And he makes a statement. He says, the righteous man... And this is a statement of fact. In the original Greek text, New Testament, this is a statement of fact. He's saying, the righteous man, a man who's been made righteous, that's not consumed with trying to get there, the new man who is the nature of Father, that is holy and blameless in His sight, and in fact is holy and blameless because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because Jesus paid the lien that darkness had on the entire human race and bought the entire human race out from underneath that lien. That righteous man, that product, that model, is the only thing that he's consumed with is not trying to get someplace that he already is. What he's consumed with is walking in the mind of Father. Learning how to walk in the mind of Father. Learning how to, in all things, pray out of your spirit, paying attention thereunto. Because when you're doing that, You're receiving the mind of Father. With the mind of Father comes the faith of Father. And that faith is speaking to you. It's telling you things. Are you getting this? You see the connection? It's always telling you things. It's always revealing things that are from the unseen eternal realm. Getting you, it wants you, the reason the Holy Spirit's revealing these things is because He wants you to take ownership of them and take them and say, it's mine. And then your part of it is believing, walking it out. That's why we're not to be led by things we see. It doesn't mean we ignore them. It just means you don't put stock in that stuff because that's all temporary. The eternal realm is permanent. So we live from the eternal realm. Father's mind is from the eternal realm vantage point. He's known your end from the beginning. So before you ever born on the planet, He already knew what His greatest plan for you was, what you looked like, how you were developed in that, and how that functioned out from you. And so your whole interaction with Him from the time that you were put on the planet, how He steered things now, He wanted to get you into a fellowship with Him, was to get you to that end place that He already knew. Because He said, I know the plans I have for you. They're plans to prosper you and give you the expected end. Have you ever noticed that little kids, they don't want to grow up and be a suicide bomber? Man has to train that into them. That's not their goal. You know, when children are born, when you see my wife's a preschool teacher too, and you know she has all these funny stories about these little 2 and 3 year olds, and their worlds are awesome. But they, never one of them, when you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up, none of them say, I want to be broke, I want to be homeless, I want to be in jail, I want to be this, and you just fill in the blank. None of them have those aspirations. Why? Because God didn't put that in them. So he's saying, and Jude says, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying out of your spirit, because that's where you have the mind of Father. And with the mind of Father comes the faith of Father. And Galatians 3 says that, he said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That's verse 1. Before whose eyes Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of law? Or by, NASB says, by hearing with faith, or literally what it says, if you have little numbers in your margins, it says the hearing of faith. And he said, did you receive the things that are of the Spirit of God, the environment that is of the Spirit of God, those things that the Spirit of God is familiar with, that He loves to do in the midst of human beings? Are you being a participant in those things because you're participating in an environment of law, or are you participating in those things because you are acting on hearing what faith is saying to you and acting on that? Do you see this, guys? Can I be honest with you? Well, okay, so let's look at verse 3. He said, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit or in the Spirit, are you now going to be perfected or end with your natural man flesh? And again, the question is for us, what Jesus asked the religious society when they tried to ask and pin him on a question, he said, well, I'll answer that question if you answer this question for me. I think it's Mark chapter 11, verse 30, I believe it is. Around in there, he says, did the things that John was saying, did they come from heaven or were they from man? So when Paul is talking here in Galatians about those things that are of the Spirit and versus the things that are of the flesh, really you could fit it into those categories. The things that are of the Spirit are from heaven. The things that are out of the flesh are from man. That's their origin. So he's saying in verse 5, and these are all rhetorical questions because they know the answers to these. Galatians 3 verse 5. So then, does he who is, and I'm going to read you exactly what it says in the New Testament Greek. Does he who is providing, ongoing constantly, you with the Spirit, what was the purpose of the Spirit? To give us the mind of Father, And with the mind of Father comes the faith of Father. And that faith is always speaking to us. So Paul is saying here in Galatians that we should be living out from the hearing of what faith is saying to us all the time. Act on that. That's you believing. You're walking it out. Corresponding actions, etc., etc. He says, is he who is providing you with the Spirit and working miracles among you. This is on an ongoing, constant basis. In other words, this was an environment that they were very familiar with. Unlike some places nowadays that wonder if even he does anything at all, ever. This was an environment they were very familiar with. Because it's part of the new man environment. He said, are you experiencing these things in the environment that you're in because you're living in an environment of law, or are you living in an environment of your fellowship with the person of the Spirit of God? And the answer is obviously, you're experiencing these things because you're living in connection with the person of the Spirit of God. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been doing this pastor thing a long time. And there's not a lot I haven't heard. And after a while, you know, if you're in this spot, all of man's communication it's all the same. It sounds all the same. It's coming from the same place. It may try to be veiled. It may try to be, you know, try to reinvent how we say it so it doesn't quite come off the way it's, you know, what we're used to, you know. But I've heard it all. And what I've come to understand, and understand this, guys, I was raised in church my whole entire life. And I'm not trying to cause offense, so don't go take it. But understand this, that I do know this, that what happens with human beings, because our DNA is to know Daddy. That's our DNA. We want to know Him. We are created to live one spirit with Him. So we have that in our spirit. We want to know Him. And what happens is, because we want to know Him, if we don't know Him, we'll make something up to bridge that gap. This is the way a man is wired. But what I can tell you is this. When we don't spend our efforts getting to know the person of the Spirit of God and being out there where His passion is, you're never going to know Him. You'll create an environment that's pseudo, that's the best you can do, but you're still only dancing with a shadow. I don't want to dance with a shadow. I want to dance with the real person. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? Go with me on this thought process. John 3:16 says what? God so loved the world, who did He love? The world. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life is, John said it in 1 John 5, is to know Him experientially, not theoretically. To know Him experientially. Well, the only way you're going to know Him experientially is if you're out there amongst where Father's passion is. Does that make sense? If Father's passion is people, then we're not going to fully know Him. We're not going to fully experience Him. We're not going to live in the authentic environment of a son or a daughter if we're not amongst the people where His passion is. Go over to Hebrews. Look at chapter 8. We spent a number of weeks here talking about natural man living in an environment of law. And specifically, not even religiously influenced man, just natural man. Because that is the foundation. Galatians tells you this at least two or three times. That is the foundation of what the world system is based on, is an environment of law. Holy Spirit called it worthless there, and it's still worthless now. Even if it has a religious bend to it. You say, well, why is that? I didn't say that. Holy Spirit said that. Unless these words aren't written by Him. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Look at verse 5. This is talking about Jesus being our high priest, having taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of majesty in chapter 1, chapter 8. So we're talking about a real person here, right? So it says in verse 4, it says, now if he were on earth, he would be a priest. He wouldn't be a priest at all because he's not in the right line. He wasn't in the Levitical tribe. He was in the tribe of Judah, so he wouldn't have been a priest at all. But he goes on to say, in verse 5, those priests, they serve, in verse 5, they serve a what? What is it? They serve a copy and a shadow of heavenly things. Well, what's the heavenly thing? Him. Is he not the fulfillment of everything that is in? Go to chapter 10. Hebrews 10. And look at verse 1. It says that law, since it's only a shadow, I'm going to say shadow, of good things to come and not the very form of things, or your margin probably says image. Well, who's the image that we're talking about here? The person of him. So here's what happens, guys. And I've seen this time and 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 time again. And herein is the challenge that we have in the body of Christ. Because we have become so used to living disconnected to the person that we have such a hunger to know him. But we get easily distracted. It's like we have spiritual ADD. But it fills that desire to know him. The problem is you're not knowing him, you're knowing the shadow of him. I don't want to know a shadow, I want to know the real person. I've said this before, if you look at a shadow, it tells you zero details about the person it's connected to. You can see the outline of it, but you don't know what color hair he has, you don't know what his emotions are or her emotions. You can't tell anything by that shadow except for the outline it's a person. Are we really just satisfied just to live from shadows? Is that really all it takes to fulfill the hunger and desire we have on the inside of us, just to live in a shadow? Getting sidetracked into, you know, I mean, I've seen all kinds of, I mean, you can read any Christian magazine, oh my gosh, there's so much out there that's so much of a distraction. Oh, you need to follow this, and you need to hear to this, and you need to pay attention to this, and you need to, you know, give me a break. It's all a shadow. Everybody say it's a shadow. Shadow. I didn't say that. Who wrote this? Holy Spirit wrote this. Which came from Father's. So we're never going to fully experience, 100% experience living in fellowship with Father and with Jesus, if we're content with living in shadows and fellowshipping with shadows and paying attention to copies. Because he's not there. He's out there where his passion is, which is people. Does this make sense? Go to 1 John. We'll close with this. Did pretty good with no notes. I had all these notes and none of them got uploaded. I was like, okay, well, we're going to go for a ride here. So when you read 1 John, just look at 1 John chapter 1. And the same thing is true in John chapter 1. What you find that Holy Spirit is describing is not talking about being satisfied with a form of godliness. Because let's be honest, folks, that's all it is. It's a form of godliness because we're dancing with the shadow of him. We want to dance with the person of him. And in order to fellowship fully with who he really is. When John talks about fellowshipping with the Spirit and fellowshipping with the Father, fellowshipping with Jesus, he's not talking about having a theoretical, theological interaction with him. It's all from the foundation of, look, this is what I'm experiencing. I want you to experience the same thing I'm experiencing. Look at 1 John. He says, what was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen, just that phrase alone, if we didn't go any farther, what we've heard and what we've seen, that phrase in the Greek New Testament is in the perfect tense, which means I'm going to talk to you. I want to talk to you about what we have heard and seen in the past, but we're still hearing and seeing the exact same things. Now, let me ask you, was Jesus walking on the earth or was he in heaven with the Father? He was in heaven with the Father. He sent his Holy Spirit to be his replacement. But yet John is saying we're still hearing and experiencing the same things that we did when he was here. We're still hearing and seeing the exact same things. Was John talking about fellowshipping with a theological idea, or was he actually talking about fellowshipping with a real person? A real person. And so he goes on to say, I want to tell you what we've looked at and touched with our hands. That was a statement of fact concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested. Everybody say manifested. And we have seen, that's in the perfect tense, in the past, and we're still seeing. And we're testifying to you and proclaiming to you that eternal life, which is with the Father, it was manifested to us. And then he goes on to say, look, what we have seen and heard in the past, with the existing results, we're still hearing and seeing those exact same things. We're proclaiming those things to you. And so that you too may be present tense, ongoing, constantly, just like we are, having the same level of fellowship with us, with him, and our fellowship was with the Father and the Son. So now, in that wording, John is clearly talking about there is an environment that is truly interacting with the person of Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Spirit of God. Right? John's not talking about dancing with a shadow. I knew this would go over well. Folks, I'm telling you, it's time for us to get about what's in his heart. And I'm not talking about doing works either. I'm just saying, let's just go enjoy him. Get to know him. The word says when you draw near to him, he draws near to you. Not a concept of him, not an idea of him. And the cool thing is nobody has to be at the same place. It's not like he says, well, y'all have to reach this level of development, then I can start fellowship with you. No, it's not that way. He'll meet you wherever you are, anywhere you are, on whatever level you're at. It doesn't matter where you are. He just wants you to be into him. Because he's so into you. And the more, how we learn about Father and how we learn about the Son and how we learn about Holy Spirit is we get in them right in the middle of what he's all about and who he's all about. And then he begins to reveal himself. And that's how we learn how Father thinks. That's how we learn how Holy Spirit thinks. That's how we learn what's pleasing to the Lord. Jesus went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil because of a certain day. Of certain foods he was eating. Certain foods he wasn't eating. No, because Father was with him. John says of Jesus, he revealed the secrets of the Father. That's John chapter 1. No one has seen Father at any time. In fact, John even says that in 1 John. He says, when you're loving people, in fact, let's just go there so you can see it in your own Bible. This will be the last scripture, I promise. I promise. 1 John. Chapter 4. Now this is after the entire letter he's talked about this experiential interaction with the person of Father and the person of the Son and the person of the Spirit. And he says in 1 John chapter 4, notice what he says here. Go to verse, let's see. Verse 13. He says, by this we are knowing. Everybody say knowing. This is speaking of on an ongoing, constant basis. By this we are knowing on an ongoing, constant basis that he is, that we are in him and that he is in us, because there are certain foods we don't eat. Now, I'm not trying to make light of that, because, you know, I understand, you know what? There's a lot of garbage out there. So if we're going to not eat food, certain foods, then let's not eat certain foods, but not because we're trying to get closer to him. It's because we understand that maybe he has a little bit of wisdom in what we should be putting in the sanctuary. Right? You understand the difference there. Okay? So, but he says, this is how we're knowing that we're in him. We're knowing we're in him because he has given us his Spirit. Now, what's the job of the Spirit? To give us the mind of what Father's thinking, and from the Father's mind comes the Father's faith. So, verse 14, we have seen in the past to the existing result, we're seeing him now, and we're testifying to you that Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the... So the Father's still into the world then, isn't he? He says in verse 16, we've come to know and have believed. We've come to know in the past with the existing results right now. As I'm talking to you, we know and believe right now too. That the love which Father has for us. How do they know that? Because he's experienced him constantly. He's seen what Father's done through him to somebody else. It's constantly reinforced. Every time blind eyes were opened, every time limbs were healed, every time bodies were set free from whatever it was, every time, he got a first-hand front row view of how much passion Father has for people. And so he says, in the past, with the existing result right now, because I've had this experience, I've had this fellowship. When John talks about fellowship, he ain't talking about fellowship with an idea. He's talking about ongoing, constant. You experienced that Saturday. Money, you experience it every single day. Every time you get involved with somebody, every time you get involved with people, you're involved with the passion of Daddy's heart, and if you let him flow through you, you're a front row seat to how much he really digs that person. And John is saying simply, as a result of that constant interaction all the time, I've come to know and believe the love that God has for me. Why is it that there are so many Christians in the body of Christ that absolutely are completely in the dark as far as how much God loves them? Because they don't have that front row seat. They're trying to dance with a shadow, and they're trying to get it from that. Paul clearly says all through his writings, if you're going to dance with a shadow, you're dancing with something that's going to weaken your conscience. Because that shadow will never be, it'll never replace the real person who will constantly speak into your life and build you up. It will never do that. It's not designed to do that. So if we're going to settle for being satisfied with dancing with a shadow, a mere form of something, a mere form of godliness, but denying the power, first of all, it puts you in the center as the most important thing in that circle. Well, that's already out of skew, because the most important thing there is him. And the passion of his heart is people. So if we want to experience him fully, I mean, really experience him, not just a form of him. If we want to really experience him, we've got to be involved in who he's involved with. This is what John is saying, his whole entire letter, 1 John. His whole entire letter. He says, by this love is perfected or brought to completion or given its perfect landing place with us, that we may have confidence in the day of our decision making, because as he is right now, so are we right now in this world. He says, we've come to know and believe the love God has for us. God is love, and the one who is abiding in love is abiding in God, and God is abiding in him. Listen, folks, your private times with him are very, very important. Jesus spent private time with Daddy. But that wasn't the passion of Father's heart, for you to get away from everybody else and go spend time with him alone. That's not his passion. And you'll never come to know him fully constantly being secluded, constantly being withdrawn, constantly being separate, you know, from where his passion is. His passion is out there. If we want to know him and the glory of his resurrection, then we've got to become involved with the real person of him and not just a form of him. We are masters I don't know him. I don't really know who he is. I don't know how he thinks. I don't know. So I'm going to go get involved in this. And we'll spend our life following this ordinance and that ordinance and this law and this and this and this and this, because that's as close as we can get to him. But it's not him. It's just a shadow. He's all about people. I said he's all about people. So if we're going to listen to what faith is saying to us, because we have the mind of the Father, because we have the Spirit of God, because we choose to walk out of our spirit in His Spirit, we choose to you need to pray in tongues as much as you possibly can all the time. You know, do it in your car when you're driving from one place to another. I don't care. Just do it as much as you can. Because that's when you're tapping into His mind. We have the mind of Christ, but it doesn't mean we're walking in it. You'll notice in 1 John a lot, he uses the word walk. Do you realize that? You know what walking is? Not sitting on your couch. That means interactive, out there on the go, doing stuff, living life. That's the Spirit of God is in the walking. Father said, I want to be, what is it? 2 Corinthians 6:16. I want to be their God. They're going to be my people. And I want to walk among them. He didn't say, I want you to sit in a room and learn about the shadow of this and the shadow of that. And, you get close to me that way and we'll just all have a good old time. He's into the walking, because it's in the walking is where the people are. Let's spend time with Him in our private life. We need to. Jesus did that. But that's not the end to be all. Don't let anything replace getting to know Him as a person. Nothing else can give you His voice. Nothing else will speak into your life like He will directly. Nothing will. Watching a TV program ain't going to do it. Listening to a CD ain't going to do it. Listening to a tape ain't going to do it. Following this ordinance or that ordinance, it ain't going to do it. Those are all good. But at the best, they're a shadow of Him. You guys do believe it is possible to walk with the real person, don't you?
Yes.
I think we do. So let's make it the passion of our life to pursue Him. What we heard in testimonies before I started speaking, folks, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. What happens when you have 80% of a church and it's continuing to grow, continuing to grow, continuing to grow, and this is the environment that we've allowed Holy Spirit to enjoy in our midst? What do you think is going to happen in the city? Exactly what Isaiah saw. I saw people that they came and they were repairers of the breach. They took the waste places and they turned them into paradises. What was he seeing? He was seeing a people that were living one spirit with the Father. Did you guys get anything out of this at all? Let's stand up. Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for loving us enough to give us you. Unreserved. You didn't just give us a part of you, you gave us all of you. Because you understood that all of you makes the best us. And we're co-laborers together with you. So, Holy Spirit, I would just ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding along these lines and help the people understand. Help us to understand that what we've just gotten done talking about came straight from you. And draw us into your heart like we've never known. Cause us to be raised up. We don't get distracted by the latest thing that comes down the pipe. But we're focused, and it's all about you. We just love you. We love you and praise you. Be magnified in this city as the glorious King, as the healer. May this city and the surrounding cities come to know you as their healer and their Lord. And we just praise you and bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.